What's going on out there, everybody? Happy Oktoberfest. Welcome back to Beer Geek Radio. I know it's been a little while since we've been on the air.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
We're back, Jack.
Yep, and excited to do so. So we've got an Oktoberfest special for you guys today, and we are going to give you a rundown of the history of the event and do some other fun stuff. But before we get too far into it, I want to introduce myself. I am your host. My name is Brad.
This is your co-host, Steven.
And this is your co-host, Chris.
Nice. And like I said, we're going to give you kind of a what's what in Oktoberfest today. We're going to drink some fun Oktoberfest beers. We're going to debunk some myths. We're going to give you some history. But before we do that, you know, I kind of want to get into a quick Ask a Beer Geek question for everybody out there. The year is going very quickly. We're already almost in the fourth quarter, so we've had a chance to drink a lot of new beers this year. So my question for you guys is, so far this year, what's your favorite new beer you've had?
Favorite new beer for the 2013 year. I would have to say Horchata by the brewery. The beer, I love the Mexican drink. It's sweet. It isn't made with cinnamon, but I get a strong cinnamon rice flavor.
The beer or the drink?
Both.
The beer is made with cinnamon.
No, it's not. It's a rice drink. I don't believe there's cinnamon in it.
I think there is.
And I'm getting.
I think it's rice, vanilla beans, and cinnamon.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
I think it's rice and a crapload of sugar.
Yeah, I was told that it wasn't made with cinnamon, so that's why I always.
Well, I can tell you right now, I know the beer is for sure.
Well, then you know what? That just makes the beer that much more accurate.
Yeah.
The flavor is amazing. It's a drink that I've always liked, and then when Brad told me that brewery was making Horchata the beer, I was totally on board. And you know what? I was not disappointed. Really, really good beer.
Very good beer. I was very, very happy with it. I didn't make it, but I'm just always thrilled to drink it. What about you, Chris?
For myself, y'all know I'm a big hophead. That's not apparent by now. It will be for the next IPA tournament that's coming up shortly.
Is that just next week, too?
Oh.
We'll get into that a little bit later.
Man, I'm getting excited just thinking about it.
But, keep it in your pants, buddy.
Okay. But as far as great beers that I've had so far this year, Prairie Hop is right at the top. For me, it's just the quintessential kind of fresh hop. It's not even an IPA. It's fresh hops on top of, I think, a Saison base.
Yeah.
But the way that it hits my palate is just perfect. I love that beer.
That's a good one. I think mine is everybody out there that's listened to the show long enough or anybody that knows me personally knows that I just am infatuated with coffee beers. So the one for me that I finally had a chance to try, I'd say probably about a month ago, I've been pining after it for a long time, and I finally got to have it, was Noble's Naughty Sauce.
Naughty.
It's a funny name. It's kind of the funniest thing about it is when you order it, you go up to the bar like, "Hey, can I get a naughty sauce?" And
the bartender winks at you.
I'm saying, in any other place, the guy might be like, "No," but it's just such an awesome beer. It has so much going for it. It's a golden milk stout, so it's very smooth. It's light in color, so it's fun to look at. It's on nitro, so it's velvety smooth and just bursting with coffee flavor, and I love everything about it. It is my answer to the question, if you had any beer that you could drink for the rest of your life, just that one beer, that would be it for me. I used to not be able to answer that question.
What's the availability on that beer?
Very limited.
I think they brew it quarterly, and then it shows up on tap at Noble every now and then a few places had it. I had it at Hollingshead recently in Orange, and then I had it at Slater's in Anaheim also recently. So, I mean, a few places get it. I think it still might be on tap in Hollingshead. But yeah,
it's a good idea to have a Facebook
Tap Hunter, man. Yeah. Tap Hunter
or Tap Hunter.
Tap Hunter is the business. That's how I found it, and I check Tap Hunter daily, and that's where and how I know where it's at. So, Tap Hunter, you owe us money. Just to let you know. So now that we've got past the Ask a Beer Geek, like I said, we wanted to do an Oktoberfest episode because that time of year is upon us again. And it seems like a very fun event, and we kind of wanted to do a Beer Geek Radio-styled episode. So for everybody who wants to learn a little bit more about Oktoberfest, or if you just want to sit down and drink some Märzen-style lagers with us and kick back and enjoy, you can definitely do that. So while we're speaking today on Oktoberfest, we do want to let everybody know that we are drinking some traditional Oktoberfest-style beers and some American craft interpretations of that style.
And what do we got?
We've got the Polliner Oktoberfest, the Hacker Oktoberfest, and then for the U.S. crafts, we've got local Hangar 24 Oktoberfest, and then the Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Nice.
So we just kind of, like I said, we wanted to get into the spirit of things, and I think we've done a great job of that.
Definitely.
So quickly, you ask yourself the question, what is Oktoberfest? Everybody looks at it like, oh, it's just something they do in Germany and they drink a lot of beer.
Yeah.
That does happen. It is in Germany, so you wouldn't be totally wrong there. But the event itself is a 16-day annual event that takes place in Munich, and it's always from the last week in October, it's a 16-day event that ends the first Sunday in October, so it actually starts in late September.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And officially began, yesterday, the 21st. So they're officially underway in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that we can't be there.
They're drinking for all of us right now.
Yeah, they definitely are.
And then some.
It is the world's largest fair, and it does have an annual visitor number of about between 5 and 7 million.
Jeez.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
7 million liters of beer drank at that festival.
Probably more than that.
Yeah, so that means each person drinks about a liter of beer, so that's actually not that much considering it is a 16-day festival.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in total, it sounds like a huge number, but I don't know about you guys, but in a 16-day beer drinking party, I would drink more than a liter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure, but if I was there, I don't know if I'd keep going back to Oktoberfest, you know? Because you get like a liter in you, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Would you really go back?
I don't know. There's a lot to do in Germany.
That's
true. Who knows? But the event itself, the history, the first time it happened was in 1812. It was to celebrate the wedding of Crown Prince Ludwig and Princess Therese of Saxony-Hildburghausen. That's a mouthful.
As is most of our German is not great, by the way, so bear with us while we fight through this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, luckily for everybody, there aren't too many more big words that we have to say for the rest of the show. That was pretty much the hardest one.
I would prefer to not flex our vocabulary.
I think you just made up a word.
Yeah, and the event itself was held on the outskirts of Munich in a field. It still is today. The event covers about 80 acres. As I said, 5 to 7 million viewers or visitors annually. About 70% of those attendees are locals from Bavaria. 15% are from the rest of Germany. And then the last 15% are from pretty much everywhere else. Obviously, Canada, U.S. sends the most over there. So that gives you a breakdown of who goes to Oktoberfest. And what is an Oktoberfest beer? It's a traditional Märzen-style lager, but it has to be brewed by one of six breweries in Munich. If mm-hmm. it's not, it ain't a traditional Oktoberfest. That's one of the reasons we chose the two traditional
Germans.
That's not
just a guideline. It's the Oktoberfest. I think I was...
Right, but the beers are brewed with the German purity law, which is a law.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
And then, of course, entry into the event is free and the tents are free. So you basically just show up at Oktoberfest with you get a mug and you get a lot of beer and you get absolutely just blitzed.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, you can't, there's no comparable beer festival in the States.
Absolutely not.
That's even close.
No, there's not at all. I mean, there's a lot of people, and we're going to get into this in a little while. There are a lot of local interpretations of or domestic interpretations of the Oktoberfest event, but we have not created one of our own that even pales in comparison. I mean, I think our biggest one would be GABF, and that's still only like a day or two. It's not a 16-day festival. It does not get that many in terms of, you know, in comparison.
Half a month of beer.
Yeah.
Just picture that. Half a month of beer.
Yeah,
that's
we don't have anything like that. And that would be, but like I said, we have, there's several domestic interpretations of the event that we will get into in a little bit, and that will offer you plenty of fun. But I mean, imagine 16 days where just everybody in the city is like, let's go to Oktoberfest. They probably don't even call it Oktoberfest over there. They don't, do they? They have a term for it. I think they call
don't.
It Weizen.
It's, hold on, let me look through my notes really quick here. I know I have it somewhere. It's Die Weizen.
Yeah, they just call it Weizen or Die Weizen. So they don't even call it Oktoberfest. So if you go over there and you say the word Oktoberfest, they're probably going to be like, yep, you're not from here. There are a few ways they can tell tourism over there.
Oh, yeah. We were talking off air a little bit earlier about another way that they can tell tourists is by the way you cheers. Because mm-hmm. the big, I think they're... I want to say spaten mugs because that's probably the most predominant one that we get over here. that's branded, but those giant, you know, beer fest mugs that you buy at BevMo or whatever.
Yeah.
They have a really thick bottom on them. And the reason for that is during Oktoberfest, you cheers at the bottom of your glass. And a lot of Americans have this habit of cheersing at the top of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that over there, you shower the glass, they'll know immediately that you're a tourist if they haven't figured it out already.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't figured it out already by your clothes and your colloquialisms or...
Yeah, and then your dialect and all that. Yeah. So, I mean, and also your listeners, next time you do cheers at one of your, you know, events that you go to or when you're drinking with some buddies, pay attention to how you cheers and see how you do it. Because, yeah, a lot of Americans tend to cheers the top of their mm-hmm. glasses, and that would not be the proper way. You would go through some mugs that way, and you would get picked out immediately yeah. as a tourist.
But you know what? They don't just cheers over there. They don't just, like, tap the glass. See, that's what Americans are used to. They're used to, you know, picking up their glass and
our
tilting
cheers
it.
Is
and
a very
then,
dainty
it's like
cheers.
a little like that. They grab like the handle, like they're trying to ball their fist, and they just slam their mug into everybody else. Yep. That's what they do. They don't, like what Chris said, they don't do it daintily. They shove that into the cheer.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Another interesting thing, too, that I learned about Oktoberfest is that if you're a waitress at Oktoberfest or a beer server at Oktoberfest, you have to be able to hold 10 full mugs at a time. Otherwise, you can't.
I don't know if I could do it.
And there's some. I've seen photos of some of them carrying over a dozen, 14, 15 mugs at a time.
Yeah.
And that's pretty wild.
In a dirndl.
Yeah. It just.
I mean, like, these women have skills.
Yeah. We look at waitresses and servers over here, and we think they got talent. It's like, nah, I think they would scoff at that over there.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. So, like, we want to focus, too, obviously, before we get too far into this, obviously, on the beer itself. We told you guys what beers we're drinking and why we picked them. Which ones, what are you guys enjoying so far, a lot about these beers so far? Which one's your favorite? What stands out?
Go for it, Chris.
Oh, well, for me, it's the Hangar 24 Oktoberfest. It's really sticking out to me. I like the breadiness of it, and it seems to be, like, a more traditional style to mm-hmm. me.
Out of the American craft beers, I would have to say the Sam Adams Oktoberfest is my favorite. It has a real nice bready aftertaste, and it just gets more it gets sweeter and breadier as it lingers. My least I don't want to say least my favorite out of the traditionals would have to be the Hacker. Out of all of them, though. My least favorite is the Polliner. Yeah, the Polliner. I don't have a taste for that at all. It tastes too. I don't want to make up another word, but lagery. Like
well,
it is a lager. All these are lagers, but I don't want to insult it because it is European.
I think it's
but
a
it tastes too much like an American lager.
It's
me.
A traditional Polliner yeast they use. Yeah. A lot of Polliner beers have that same
you know
kind of character.
I take
that
back.
Funky esters in it.
I take that back. It doesn't taste like an American lager. It tastes like Heineken to me. Just a little fancier, and I'm not a fan of Heineken whatsoever.
I think so far the one that stands out to me would be the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. I really dig the sweetness to it, and it has a lot of malt character. I really mm-hmm. dig that about the Oktoberfest style beers. And it just has a lot more presence than a regular American adjunct lager. In terms of the traditional import ones, the Hacker one is awesome to me. I think it has a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I'll second what Steven said about the Polliner. I can drink it. I do like it. But of all the four that we've got, I think it's just the one that I would pick last, definitely.
Yeah. I think we're in agreement.
Yep, I think so. And then kind of a fun part of the show I want to do is I want to debunk a few myths that we have about Oktoberfest. Obviously, these are common misconceptions about the event that you can get either by word of mouth or what you read on the internet, whatever. But yeah, here's five quick myths that we're going to debunk quickly. First one is that the event itself takes place in the entire month of October. That is not true. The event obviously starts in late September and, mm-hmm. as we said, ends in the first Sunday of October. And it's about, like I said, 16 days, so just over 2 weeks. There were a couple years in there, Chris, that they didn't do Oktoberfest in Germany, correct?
Yeah, there were during the World War, World War One, World War Two, they didn't mm-hmm. do Oktoberfest at all
for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons, yeah, they were in the middle of a worldwide war. But following both wars, actually, they had a diluted version of Oktoberfest mm-hmm. that they called Autumnfest, and they didn't serve the traditional 6% alcohol beers that you usually find at Oktoberfest. they were the normal beers, the sessionable beers mm-hmm. that you would get in Germany at the time, around 4%.
Gotcha.
And then in a side note, in 1994, actually October 3rd, 1994 is the date that the Berlin Wall came down mm-hmm. and Germany was unified. And to this day, they extend Oktoberfest until October 3rd just so they can celebrate the unification of Germany as part of the festival.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's a new tradition.
Yeah. Right. And in terms of the wars, obviously, they needed to get morale up. I mean, especially after World War One, Germany owed the world a lot of money, and they were just getting ravaged. And so they needed a way to keep the citizens of Germany happy and the morale up because mm-hmm. it just was not a fun place to be around that time. Another myth that's a very common misconception about Oktoberfest and pretty much Germany altogether is that when you go to Oktoberfest, all they eat is brats and sausage and stuff like that. The actual primary food that you're going to get at Oktoberfest is chicken. They do a lot of other stuff, too. They do brats and sausages. They do duck, and they do other stuff. But mostly what you're going to see is chicken.
I'd want to try some duck. I've never had duck before.
Another myth is that there are also a lot of different types of beer served. What we said previously is actually true about Oktoberfest. If your beer, the only way your beer can be served at the actual Oktoberfest is if it's brewed by one of the six breweries based in Munich. Those breweries are Augustiner, Hacker, Löwenbräu, Paulaner, Spaten, and Hofbräu. That's the reason we chose the Hacker and the Paulaner to be drank today, because we wanted to kind of go along with the theme. But yeah, if you're not brewed in one of those breweries as an Oktoberfest beer, you can't get served at the festival. It has to be in Munich. So, I mean, they do keep they do take that very seriously. So but Germany has a very, you know, everyone knows Germans drink. I mean, it was Germans and Irish pretty much drink the most beer, according to lore mm-hmm. about Europe.
But it's pretty remarkable, the variations they can get with the stringent laws they have in Germany.
Yeah, they do still follow the German purity law of 1516, the four mm-hmm. ingredients, the water, malt, hops, and yeast.
Yeah.
And you cannot sell beer in Germany if you don't follow that. So that's pretty cool. And nice to see what people can do with just those four ingredients.
They take their beer real seriously across the pond.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Another myth is that all you hear at these events or this event is traditional German polka music. Not true. Germans are very fascinated with U.S. and other countries' pop music. So you're going to hear a lot of 80s pop music, as seen by their just constant love and adoring of David Hasselhoff. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Hoff, man. They love that guy over there.
The 80s is the worst era to pick from, in my opinion.
That's down there. It's down there at the bottom of the barrel.
It's not good. It's no good.
I mean, pop music in general is terrible.
Yeah.
Today's pop music is horrible. Yesterday's pop music is horrible, and the 80s is no better. But yeah, you don't judge. I mean,
you don't like Cyndi Lauper?
Yeah, there is a lot of polka music. I'm sure there's a lot of polka music being played, but that's not mostly what you're going to hear. And another one, the final myth that we're going to debunk, is something that I did run into a lot when reading about Oktoberfest, but it wasn't something that I ever knew about Oktoberfest or even thought of, is that it's viewed as an event for old people. And that's not the case. You actually get a wide array of ages, but the primary age group there is mid to late 20s. I never looked at Oktoberfest as an event that was showcasing old people.
Yeah, that's not something that crossed my mind.
That might be more of a myth based in Germany itself.
Probably.
Because a lot of people in Germany don't go there to get shit-faced, you know? You'll actually be publicly ridiculed if you do go there and get shit-faced. They actually have a word for it. If you drink too much and you pass out, then people are likely to walk by you and call you beer lichen. And that literally translates to beer corpse.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to start calling Steven when he drinks too much and passes out.
Beer lichen!
Rather than just write on you with a Sharpie, we're just going to call you beer lichen.
Beer lichen. I like it.
So now we've debunked some myths about Oktoberfest. You guys have gotten the opportunity to learn a little bit about it. And so that way you can say you didn't just listen to Beer Geek Radio because we drank good beer. So now you actually learned a little bit.
Yeah. We like to drop knowledge.
Yeah, we do what we can. So we try to make it an educational as well as a fun show. So before we get into our final segment, I want to ask you guys, so far, what was the winner today? If you guys could pick one of these Oktoberfest beers as your winner, what would it be?
Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Hanger 24.
I'm probably going to take Oktoberfest from Sam Adams as well, and I'm kind of surprised I'm saying that, but then again, at the same time, I'm not. I mean, it is one of their best sellers. It comes in six-packs, cases. It's everywhere. And people, it flies off the shelves, and there's such a good availability of it, though. But I think it's very, very solid. So the last thing we want to do is if you guys I've been interested in what we're saying, and you guys want to try out Oktoberfest, and you might not have the money to fly all the way out to Munich and to join the festivities, we have a quick little list of some of the local Oktoberfest events that you can attend. Starting with some of the local Inland Empire ones, if you guys are around Hangar 24, they're doing an October festival in on September 28th, a Saturday, which is next week. And then Dale Brothers in Upland is doing one on Saturday, October 19th. In L.A., in downtown L.A., they do an Oktoberfest, and it's actually going to be on the 25th, 26th, 27th of October. And then in Orange County at an Old World restaurant that's German style, they do an Oktoberfest. It's actually called The Old World. And that is going to be starting, it was starting a few weeks ago, and it's going all the way until October 27th. And then the big one also in Big Bear, they do on weekends from now until October 27th. So you guys have an idea of where you can go in and join in on the fun.
Yeah, you know, you guys should probably just hit up all of them.
Or just fly to Germany and go to the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that too.
You could do that too if you got the money.
Right.
I definitely, that's on my bucket list. One year or one day I'm going to attend Oktoberfest in Munich. I hope to do that someday because that just seems like it would be a blast. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I wouldn't be a beer liking. So that's the Oktoberfest special. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Obviously, you guys can go out there and pick up some Oktoberfest beers. At this time of year, they're all over the place. You shouldn't have any trouble finding them.
Yeah.
You have information on the ones we drank. There's plenty others out there. There's local craft examples, and there's also a lot of import traditional styles that you guys can pick from.
Check both of them out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Give them both a try, the imports and the domestics. You might find you enjoy them more than you thought. Unless you're already somebody who enjoys Oktoberfest this time of year, then you know this is just normal business for you. So upcoming events, obviously we've got the IPA tournament beginning next week. That is going to be one of our bracket-style tournaments. It spans three rounds, quarters, semis, and finals. Mm-hmm. We've got eight double IPAs, and only three are returning from last year. As I said, this is our second annual tournament.
Got some new blood.
Yeah, there's a lot of new competition, and it's going to be pretty rough. So I'm actually looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait to get started. So this is our Oktoberfest special, and for Beer Geek Radio, I am your host. My name is Brad.
And this is Steven.
And Prost, this is Chris.
All right, grab your Lederhosen, drink some Oktoberfest beers, and cheers. We'll see you guys next week for the IPA tournament.
Cheers.